Now is the time for our Bible reading. So first, let's pray. Dear Lord, bless this message here tonight. Bless the words of your holy text, Lord, that we shall soon hear, as well as the message that Neil brings to us. Let us have the right ears and the right headspace to truly understand just a hint of your wisdom, Lord, so that we can go out into our weeks, into this busy time of year, to be the best disciples we can be, Lord. So, in Jesus' name, amen. So the Bible reading is Luke 1, 68 to 79. So praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he has said through his holy prophets of long ago. The salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant. The oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him in all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Good evening, everyone. Let's pray. Loving God, we just give thanks for the opportunity to be here tonight. We just give thanks for the ability to take this time to just delve into your word, to delve into this story of the Nativity, and perhaps understand just what it means for you to come to earth, for you to break into our world in a way that was just unknown and has never been known again. In your name we pray. Amen. I think one of the things that we really need to understand about this reading, about the whole nativity thing, is that it was all predicted. It was all there in the Hebrew Scriptures. People knew it was going to happen. But when it happened, they didn't know that it had happened. And so in, we have this paradox of the gospel. So often, this paradox is that it happens, but we don't understand it. Now, because of the fact that we're so rushing all the time, and Advent then is a time to slow down, again, we have this paradox. Ask anybody in the building industry. There's something magical about December 24. Everything, every house must be completed by December 24. It doesn't matter that 3 days later, the house is still going to be the same. But it must be done by December 24th. It doesn't matter that they haven't got a hope of moving into it, but it must be done. And so the rush builds and builds. And yet somehow we find it hard to slow down. This year I've very deliberately chosen a book, and I can't remember the author's name, and I do apologize. But we're going to be using this right through the 4 weeks of Advent. It's looking at how St. Francis viewed the Nativity. Now, you remember who St. Francis is? St. Francis of Assisi? He was born Giovanni di Pietreo di Bernardino. Sorry? You're not saying that next week? Well, I was hoping if I had it 3 weeks out of four, I might actually be able to get it right on the third week. He was born to a very well-to-do family just outside of Assisi. And of course, we know that he went off to war. That didn't work out real well for him because he got captured. He took the time, came back, and he thought, you know what? I was just unlucky. Let's have another crack at this. So his dad decides that, yep, we'll fit you out with the horse and the armor, and off he goes. This time he's got a real purpose in mind. He wants to come back a prince. He goes off to the Fourth Crusades. Along the way, something happens. And he goes, actually, I got this all wrong. And I need to look at what I'm doing. And so he started to reflect upon what was happening. So in that spirit of reflection, what I'd like you to do is sit up straight. Hands on your knees. Sit up straight. This is a time of preparation. I am talking to you. I want you to close your eyes. Sit comfortably. Take some really deep breaths. As you breathe in peace. As you breathe out fear. Breathe in peace. Breathe out fear. Let us pray as you continue to breathe. Cause us to breathe deeply, loving God, just for this moment, a letting go of worry and anxiety about all that's left to do. Center us in your amazing grace so that we may hear the flutter of angel wings, know the gift of your peace, receive the gift of healing, and live in the grace of your forgiveness. May each breath open us to the simple and beautiful ways you are with us. Open us to the child who comes to love us. Amen. I want you to think about that first nativity scene. We don't actually know what it was, but the scene that we have in our, that's been built up over the years, is it's in the back of the stable, and there's the manger, and there's a babe in the manger. And then somewhere along the line, the shepherds come along. And if we listen to the Christmas story, somewhere along the line, the three kings or the wise men come along. Now, we don't actually know how long it took the wise men to get there. If we listen to the story, it may have been up to 2 years, which is a long time to keep a babe in a manger. Surely a hotel room opened up sometime during that 2 years. What was Joseph thinking? But see, we don't know what the story was, but this is the image that we have. And when we think about Francis, Francis was a creationist long before it became popular in the 2000s. He really wanted to look after the creation. And so for him to hold an outside nativity scene just seemed natural. And you remember from last week, he sent his friend away and said, this is what we want. We're going to recreate the whole nativity scene. And so they did. And he recreated it in a forest. But have you ever been to a forest at night? Do you know what it feels like in a forest at night? All of the signs get magnified. All of the scents get magnified. All of your fears get magnified. And here you have a group of people who are coming along. They've been told that they've got to come to see this thing called the nativity scene. Because at that stage, it wasn't a nativity scene. It was just something that Francis was creating. And as they walk along, can you imagine what it would have been like if you were one of those people? Can you imagine what it would be like if you're walking along with the person standing next to you? Are you excited? Are you nervous? And all you have to guide the way is a light. Not a torch light. The only light that you have that's portable is a candle. And see, the candles live on today. We have the wreath which shows the eternity of God. And the purple of the candles represents that fact that it's a repentant people coming forward. But the third candle, which Paul will organise to light next week, is different. It's rose. It's a different colour. Because next week it represents joy. Now, why do we use candles? Well, we talked a little bit about it with the kids. Some people mistakenly believe that it's actually to count down the number of late night shopping days to Christmas. There's actually a lot more than that left now because they've changed the late night shopping rules. But it used to work real well in the old days when you only could do one late night shopping night a week. But the reality... I've got you. Jill doesn't often lose you. it does mark dawn. It does mark as a countdown to when the Bethlehem babe is going to arrive. And as we light more candles each week, we bring more light into the darkness. I wonder if there are people in your lives who actually act as a light for you. In those times when life is tough, in those times when you're in a dark place, I wonder, is there someone in your life that actually acts as a candle to you? What I'd like you to do is take a candle and write their name on the candle. Tracy's got some pens there that she'll help. Who is that person that's in your life? Write their name on the candle. This is for you to keep. Tonight, as you continue to write that, I'm just going to talk a little bit more. Tonight we lit two candles. The first candle was hope, and the second candle is peace. I wonder where in our lives do we need hope and peace? I wonder, is there someone in your life that you're hoping something for? If there is, flip the candle over and write their name on the back of it. What I invite you to do is take the candles home, place them on the fridge, and pray for the people that you've written down. Pray for the one that brings light to your dark spaces. Give thanks for them. And pray for the hope for the one that you believe that needs it. If we go back to the second nativity scene for a moment, one of the things that we do know about Francis is that he's actually a very good singer. So as the people arrived to view this second nativity scene, he was singing. He was singing the gospel story. And when I think about him singing the gospel story, of course my mind has to go to the Christmas songs that start on the 1st of November. And I wonder how often we lament those Christmas songs and go, why are they starting so soon? And we get annoyed at the stores with the Christmas merchandise. Right? And it always seems like it's the 1st of September that they're putting the Christmas decorations on. Right? And we get cranky and we get annoyed. But somehow, Francis sings the gospel. Somehow, when we sing the Christmas carols, somehow Christmas starts to feel real. Because it's in the Christmas carols that we hear the Christmas story. And it's in the Christmas story that we hear the meaning of Christmas. I wonder what your favorite Christmas song is. I wonder why your favorite song is your favorite song. Does it take you back to childhood? Does it take you back to a special memory? Music has a really powerful way of taking you places that language can't. We sung the song tonight, "Come Thy Long Expected Jesus." And in it it says, "Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thy art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart." I wonder what it is that our hearts are longing for this Advent. It may be some of the big things. It may be the global warming. It may be global hunger. It may be clean water. It may be the end of war. It may be that we finally start to look after creation. It may be something much closer. It may be the guy in the tent on Gympie Road. I wonder, does our longing actually relate to us when we have been hurt? Perhaps our longing relates to when we have hurt others and we desire for that to be made right. You see, so many times people hear the word Christmas and they don't hear it as a joyous experience. They hear it as a time of pain. And here we have the Christmas story, the most joyful story of the world. And they hear it as a story of pain. What are they longing for? What is it that they're afraid of? I wonder what it is that we can do to change that situation for those people. I wonder how we can bring the joy of Advent, the joy of Christmas, to a world at large, to a world that doesn't hear the Christmas story. You see, Francis longed for the people to understand the gospel story. But he didn't leave it at longing, he took it to action. He said to his friend, "Let's do this." And then when the people were coming, he sung the story to them. He sung it in a way that they could understand. What he did is he got alongside the people that he was working with. See, we have this time of Advent. We have this time of Advent to reflect on this journey. This journey that starts at the Nativity and ends in the cross. See, the reality is we all have Christmas traditions. We're all in a rush to make sure that those traditions continue. I wonder, can I challenge you this week to make a new tradition? To make a tradition to take time out each day. In a special way that says, let us slow down. Let us slow down so that we can understand just who this Bethlehem babe really is. Let us pray. Holy One, into such a world as ours and such a time as this, you choose to enter. Again and again, you visit us in the darkest times of life. Again and again, to surprise us in the midst of hectic schedules, tense cities, world crisis, and worried lives. Again and again, you allow us the time to slow down. Lord, please help us to take the time that you grant to us. Amen.